So this is a continuation from the theme of Lord Chaitanya speaking to the sannyasis at Varanasi. When all the Mayavadi sannyasis thus heard the explanation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the basis of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, they spoke very humbly. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Everyone who actually desires to understand the Vedanta philosophy must certainly accept the explanation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Vaishnava Acharyas, who have also commented on the Vedanta Sutra according to the principles of Bhakti Yoga. After hearing the explanation of the Vedanta Sutra from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the sannyasis, headed by Prakasananda Saraswati, became very humble and obedient to the Lord, and they spoke as follows. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Nena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadammayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Pandeham Shiguro Shiyuta Padakamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganat Raganatam Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneswari Rishabhanu Suri Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namaho Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Before you can communicate to someone, they have to be willing to listen. Without the attention towards the subject matter, it's pretty much either goes in one ear or out the other, or it's blocked by one's conceptions or resistance. Lord Chaitanya, presenting himself in the role as a very humble and not very learned sannyasi, attracted the minds of the Vaishnavas, the Mayavadi sannyasis at Varanasi. They were, according to their own understanding, fixed in Vedanta philosophy. So they were not able to hear the actual understanding from Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya presented himself as one who didn't know anything. And he was speaking from the perspective of a disciple, that my spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, Keshava Bharati, his Guru Maharaj, his sannyas guru, told him, you know, you can't really understand this philosophy. All you can do is chant Hare Krishna. That's basically what he told him. And when the sannyasis from Varanasi challenged the Lord, that's how he responded. That I don't really know anything. My spiritual master called me a fool. And therefore, he just said, chant, dance. Just chant this Maha Mantra and you'll become self-realized. They were attracted by two things. They criticized him for not knowing philosophy and for chanting and dancing like a sentimentalist. Because the Mayavadis feel that, you know, you sit very rigidly and you, you know, study carefully the philosophy and the shastras, and then you assimilate, and then you discuss with others. And that's the whole program. It's all about philosophical discussion. And the conclusion is everyone's Narayan. And so it's a very stiff, kind of boring way to practice spiritual life. There's a book that's just recently out by one of my godbrothers called Achyutananda. Yes. Achyutananda Swami. He was actually the first devotee to go to India on behalf of Srila Prabhupada's movement back in 1967. And he just finished his book called Blazing Sadhus. That's the title of the book. I don't know if anybody's seen the book. Anybody? No? The subtitle is Never Trust a Holy Man Who Can't Dance. That's the subtitle. Never trust a holy man who can't dance. And the statement came from Hayagriva Prabhu, who, when Achyutananda first came to the 22nd Avenue in New York, and he met Prabhupada for the first time, he came during a kirtan. And at one point, Prabhupada got up and danced and started to, you know, show some ecstasy. And he was kind of astonished to see that, because, you know, the formal understanding is holy men are just, and they look holy too. They got beards and they open their eyes once in a while. And mostly they're poor, so they need money. So it's bakshish. So when he saw Prabhupada dancing, he was a little bit astonished. And then Hayagriva, he looked at Hayagriva. Hayagriva said, never trust the holy man who can't dance. So, that says something. So Lord Chaitanya was not only dancing, he was really dancing. As he was dancing and chanting practically all the time. And it wasn't much about discussion on philosophy. But in order to convince the Mayavadi philosophers, first he had to get their, what we say, confidence, and then their attention. He did it in two ways, by his humility. He was so humble, so respectful, and very shy even to come into their association. He sat by the door, the dirtiest place in the whole room where people wash their feet before they enter. And he didn't say anything. But two things they noticed is his humility. And he had this really beautiful bodily effulgence that was lighting up the whole room. So they actually able to see that. And finally, after interaction about explaining his own inadequacy to understand Vedanta, they were willing to listen at that point, and then he started to speak. And the previous verses describe what Mahaprabhu spoke. He spoke the conclusion of Vedanta based on the principles of Abhideya, Sambandha, and Prayojana. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. The basic three subject matters that make up all religious scriptures. Coming in contact with God, serving God, and receiving the results of that service, which is pure love of God. And he did it based on the principles of Bhakti Yoga. And they couldn't say anything. They were defeated in silence. They were stunned. They had never heard anything so convincing and so thorough in the explanation of Vedanta Sutra. So if he tried to do that when they first came, when he first came, there would have been a debate and back and forth and no conclusion. But he did it only when they were ready to hear. Only when they were ready to hear. So this is also very important to understand that in presenting Krishna conscious philosophy, we present it in as many opportunity settings. But unless people are really ready to hear the message, it doesn't really take root in their heart and their mind And it just, as they say, goes in one ear and comes out the other. There's nothing in between to catch it. So, of course, there's some benefit in speaking in any and every situation, because people get ready to hear when a life crisis comes. They say the best preaching is in during a funeral. If you want to go, you know, go to a funeral parlor, you can really get, you can preach pretty good there, because, you know, the results are there. I remember I was in New Jersey one time at this little temple. It wasn't a temple. It was actually a building that the devotees had rented regularly for Sunday programs. Right next door of it, there was a firehouse. And mostly the whole temple was an Indian community, practically 99.9%. I think the only non-Indian was me. And the place was crowded. There was maybe 150 or so people. So they asked me to give a class, and I took the section on Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna speaks about the difference between the body and the soul, what's eternal, what's temporary. And I started to speak about death. I mean, really got to the point. And I was describing, you know, the end of this body, death, you know, no one knows. And I really got into it. And at one point, one person in the back fell off his chair and collapsed onto the floor. And he didn't move. He didn't move. And it looked like he actually had a heart attack. And then, fortunately, right next door was the fire department, who has their medical squad. So we called them, and within a few minutes, they came rushing in, gave him some artificial resuscitation, and did so many things. It took him a while to get the person back to consciousness, but he did have a mild heart attack. And somehow they escorted him out, and then he was sent home. You should have seen, right after that, how attentive people were in my class. It changed the whole mood. You know, and then at that time, I really became enthusiastic to speak. Before, I was just presenting what I thought would be interesting. So, yeah, this is the way it is, that this philosophy is actually the philosophy of life, how to live life. And how to live life in such a way that one can achieve perfection in life. And therefore, when we accept this philosophy and apply it in our life, then we actually understand the meaning behind the words. It's what we say, hearing, assimilating, application. Application gives realization, and realization brings about, you know, our relationship with Krishna. It awakens our relationship with Krishna. So here it's explained that, and Prabhupada says, that one must accept this philosophy coming in the line of the great acharyas. One cannot create some new philosophy. One cannot add to what has already been given, because this knowledge is coming from Krishna himself. Krishna is the source of all transcendental knowledge. He says, everything comes from me. And the wise who know this engage in my devotional service. So one who is actually intelligent and wise accepts this knowledge as coming from Krishna himself through the, what we say, the enlightened acharyas, which have time-tested this knowledge and applied it in their own lives, and can teach it, and they've realized it. So, therefore, in understanding, one must accept completely. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So there's one principle. It says sadhu vritti. Sadhu vritti means accepting this knowledge according to what, how it has been given in the line of disciplic succession. One cannot add, just detract, mix it in, try to change it. One can try to understand it from different angles, because the philosophy is quite, what we say, dynamic. It can be understood in different ways, and the application is according to time, place, and circumstance, which includes individual. Just like in the principle of sadhu-vritti, there are two categories of sadhu-vritti, for the grihasthas and for those who are, what we say, in the renounced order, the brahmacharis, the vanaprasthas, the sannyasis. So sadhu-vritti terminologies make up two aspects of itself, and one has to accept that path, that marg, that is according to one's position within the Vanashram system like that. And then one can apply the principles effectively. One cannot, as those in the, what we say, renounced ashram, cannot accept the principles in the grihastha ashram and expect to make advancement and vice versa. Yeah. Because following ashram means following the acharyas also. So, therefore, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the philosophy, he was explaining it based on the principles of bhakti yoga. He could explain that same Vedanta philosophy from different other angles of vision. But knowing that bhakti yoga is the topmost of all yogas, which gives complete realization by application, he presented it in a very humble way, and they accepted it. They accepted it. And then Lord Chaitanya converted 60,000 Mayavadis. Prakasananda was converted, and all his followers also became Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program was to reach each and every living entity with this mission of Krishna consciousness. So there are different ways to present the knowledge, but the knowledge is the same. Like, if I say, what is it? What is it? You might say, how to say the same thing in two different ways. Just like you can tell a person, don't do this, but you can tell a person, do this. So don't do this means to stop doing this, but better to say do this, and then you avoid the negative aspect of the same way of getting people to do something you want them to do. So presentation of the knowledge is a large part of the effective communication of the knowledge. And in that communication, Lord Chaitanya exactly knew how to reach these Mayavadis. Because there's no more stubborn than a Mayavadi. They have their understanding of philosophy, and they are very expert at presenting the philosophy according to their understanding, which is that everything is Maya, and God, everybody is ultimately God. Maya means forgetfulness, and they quote verses, you know, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mityam, that Brahma is truth, and Satya Mityam, that which is temporary, that is not truth, that is what we say false, or they say false, we say it's temporary. So, you know, Brahman cannot be divided. So there's no question of two Brahmans. There's only one Brahman. Therefore, everyone is the supreme Brahman. So what is this idea of the living entity and God being separate? How can you divide spirit? Spirit is absolute. So this is their philosophical presentations. But the absolute truth contains both finite and infinite principles of itself. Wherever there is person, there is imperson. Wherever there is infinite, there's also finite. So the jivas are finite souls, and the Lord is infinite, both of the same quality, but quantitatively different. So that's our understanding. Achintya Bheda Bheda Vitattva. Everything is simultaneously one with and different from the Absolute Truth. They say just one with. No difference. Like that. So to reach such persons, I remember back in 2004 in Barcelona, Spain, there was the World Conference of Religions, which is sponsored by a very powerful, the World Parliament of Religions. They're out of Chicago. It's the same place where Vivekananda appeared in 1893 and spoke before the World Parliament. It goes back that far. They are the big interfaith think tank within the world. And they put on a symposium of religious presentations every 5 years somewhere in the world. So in 2004, I was in Barcelona, and I went. And Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj was also there, and a few other devotees. And one night was Hindu night, Haribo. Hindu night. So they had a little program off campus and some smaller place. And then all the Hindus came. Haribo. So it was Khichri. Everything was in there. It was a mixture of everything and anything. So the devotees also came. We had a book table. We also had prepared some prasadam for everybody. The Mayavadis took over the whole program. They got on the stage first and put all their men there, and then they had their leaders, and they started to organize how things was going on. So we were there. So they were speaking their philosophy, telling nice stories. And if you listen to it, you just kind of think, well, you know, sounds pretty good. But you know, behind the whole thing, it's just like, I'm God. So, but Sarup Damodar Maharaj is so gracious, so gentlemanly, so respectful, that he gained their confidence. So they invited him on the stage. It was like almost like Lord Chaitanya, you know. So he came on the stage and they allowed him to speak. And he spoke on one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Katha Makyam Vasudeva. What is it? Vasudeva. Vasudeva is the goal of austerities. Vasudeva is the goal of all penances. Vasudeva is the goal of all worship. Vasudeva. There's two verses in Bhagavatam. It goes on and on and on. So he spoke on that. They were very patient, listened, didn't say anything, you know. But basically he was saying that, you know, Vasudeva is everything, Krishna. So it was over, and then, you know, I was getting really angry, ooh. Because I was listening to this Mayavadi philosophy, and I was thinking, these guys are just so puffed up. Because they were just thinking, one guy was saying, you can control material nature. You can do it. You know, he was just encouraging everybody to perform austerities and penances and that way be the controller of the material energy. And I was thinking, you can't even control your bodily urges. What are you talking about, material nature? So anyway, Maharaj, I was thinking, Maharaj is so peaceful, so gracious, so tolerant. And I'm getting, so angry. It's just my nature. So finally, the thing was over. And then it was our turn, and we decided to do kirtan. So everybody was still there. And there was a lot of people who were like really kind of followers of the Mayavadis. And they were, you know, simple Hindus, ladies, men, variety of people. So at that point, we started to do kirtan. And as soon as the kirtan started, all the Mayavadis left. They just left. Because they don't like kirtan. They think it's just some sentiment. So we built the kirtan. It was a nice kirtan. Maharaj was singing. And then all the people who came to hear, they stayed. And then they were starting to smile. Nobody smiled when the Mayavadis were speaking because there's nothing to smile about. It's just like... And then at the end, they just came up to us and they were just like offering obeisances and, you know, pranams and like that. And then after we served out prasadam, we had won the hearts of many of the people there. So it's prasadam and kirtan that did it, right? So it was like a classic example of Lord Chaitanya's. Of course, we didn't convert any Mayavadis, but we converted some Mayavadi followers anyway. Those who were sympathetic to the Mayavadis. So it was quite successful. But I remember I was really, really getting, thinking, when are we going to get to the kirtan? I can't take this other stuff. But Lord Chaitanya also, very humble, very patient, very tolerant, very gracious, respectful. When he got their confidence, and then he just let them have it. He gave them the knowledge of, you know, what is really Vedanta. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta Krit Vedavid Eva Chaham. Then I am the compiler of Vedanta. I am the knower of Vedanta. The Vedanta is meant to know me. So the conclusion of all Vedanta knowledge is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it's our duty to worship Him in devotion. That's the conclusion. If you know the conclusion, then it's easy to practice the principles that lead to the conclusion. But if you don't know the conclusion, you don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, or even understand what the principles are about. So that was, so Lord Chaitanya actually, by his humility, and of course, when they were ready to hear, he spoke like that. So this was Mahaprabhu. And then as it goes on, they are respectfully responding to him, and ultimately they all became Vaishnavas. That's the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He can convert thousands and thousands of Mayavadis into Vaishnavas. And he did it very intelligently. He actually accepted sannyas from a Mayavadi sannyasi. And that was also an asset to speak to these persons. They mentioned that actually you are a disciple of Keshava Bharati. But actually, it's mentioned that there are 10 orders of sannyasis, and the Mayavad sannyasis, and the gradations are different. Depending on the title, you can understand what level of gradation the sannyasi is in. And when he heard that he was Bharati, he was coming, he said, you know, you should just take reinitiation to a higher level of Mayavad sannyasi. They thought he was a low-class Mayavadi sannyasi, but who got bewildered by chanting and dancing like that. Even people in general, when they see us chanting and dancing, sometimes they think, is this some sentiment, some party? Of course, when they finally get in and do it themselves, they like it. But when they watch from a distance, they think, you know, even devotees, I mean, many devotees who joined our movement, when they first came in, they thought, what is this singing and dancing? You know, I came to understand philosophy. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj told me that personally. He said, I would just stand in the back and watch everybody dancing. Two things I couldn't accept. They're dancing and eating of sugar. He said, this is all sense gratification. Because, you know, you perform all these austerities and then you become fixed like that. So, but then again, later on, as we understand that Krishna consciousness opens up the heart. As the heart opens up, one accepts the mercy of Krishna in whatever way Krishna's mercy comes. And then one is attracted to Krishna and not austerity. The austerities can lead us to Krishna consciousness if they're in line with the acharyas, But the goal is not austerity. The goal is love of God. So the goal of love of God, and so one who is tasting the happiness of Krishna consciousness, they chant, they dance, they eat prasadam, and they speak about the glories of Krishna. Okay, so any questions?